Hi, welcome back to All Things Data. We've spent a little bit at the start of the year talking about the general computer understanding of text, NLU, natural language understanding, and any real treatment of that topic wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about actual context, so the contextual analysis of a piece or a body of text. So today, let's try to get into the world of how we analyze context for the treatment of text in NLP.
Hi, Victor. Last week we talked about NLU. So tell me, what do you mean by contextual analysis?
That's a good first question considering, you know, it's the whole purpose of today's podcast. So contextual analysis is all about understanding where a sentence is coming from. So, I mean, without using the word context, it's hard to really get at the heart of this, but it's the context in which a sentence is born, basically. So you might have things in a sentence, in a piece of work, in a paragraph, even words themselves, where you could ostensibly have different meanings for the same piece of text or the same words. And it's not just different meanings, it's that your intended meaning will give it real context and real understanding of that piece of content or piece of word. So imagine the word bat. You know, the word bat can obviously mean an animal, two-winged, little, almost rodent-looking flying thing. It could also mean a baseball bat, and it could mean the bat of, you know, just somebody else that's similar to a baseball bat, but not specifically a baseball bat. That's one example. You might even think of another example like takeout. Takeout can be like, take out the trash, you know, go take something out. And it could also literally mean, you know, I want to eat some food, can we get takeout? So without having context about those things, you're in a world of guessing as to what that word specifically means and how it applies to the rest of the sentence or the rest of the content, obviously. Add to that that you have also, especially in English, but all across every language, you have slang, you have idioms, you have treatments of words that are not quite correct, but they're colloquially used. And of course, you have like full-on internet language and acronyms and all that stuff. So you're going to need a bunch of context. Otherwise, you're going to like literally just take the literal meaning and you're guessing at what that might mean in a text or a sentence or a paragraph. So some of the broader categories of contextual analysis are the actual analysis of syntactic and semantic parts of the text.
Let's discuss syntactic and semantic analysis.
For sure. That's sort of the one I would think that most people could intuitively have a bit of an understanding about. Syntax itself is something that we often learn in early grade school. So it's kind of like the structured rules of sentences. So, you know, English and French have different rules. You know, most Latin languages have slightly different rules. And then if you go to other East Asian languages, of course, completely different rules. So it's all like the treatment of word nouns and prepositions and pronouns and adverbs and adjectives all go so that the sentence sounds correct in that language. Obviously, if you're going to try to understand a piece of text, you have to sort of know those rules, right? So you have to understand where to look for nouns, where to look for adjectives, and how they relate to each other. The where they are and the structure of them is all about the syntax. The semantics is really more about the actual meaning of words and sentences. And it's not necessarily just that, you know, again, back to the example with bat and bat, it's not just that a bat could be these two things. It's understanding, okay, well, a bat in this sentence is referring to the animal because we're talking about, I don't know, airborne viruses, as opposed to talking about the World Series where you're like, oh yeah, it totally makes sense that a bat is not the flying rodent, it's the piece of wood that you hit a ball with, right? So in terms of understanding content and text specifically, without the rules and the meaning of the word, obviously you're lost. So that is very, very succinctly the first thing that you got to get right.
What about the meaning of individual words? How does NLU get this?
So yeah, you start with semantics, obviously, but you have to get to a place of disambiguation. So you can imagine the word itself. Like if you have ambiguity, you're not quite sure exactly what the word means in that context. So like we were saying, the whole bat thing, you're looking at how do we possibly ensure that either a word that may have multiple meanings or a synonym doesn't get treated as the actual word. So you want to look for real meaning here. Now, the other part of this, that's disambiguation. The other part is anaphora resolution. Anaphora resolution is really about how terms are related to each other. So in a sentence, we've all done this in probably like grade 1, 2, 3 or something like that, where you're told this is action word, this is the person or the thing being acted on, this is the event and all of this other stuff, right? So you're trying to categorize those. That's largely what anaphora resolution is all about. It's like, who got acted on, what is the act, and what happened from this? So then you can generally understand what's going on in that sentence much better than just like, there's a car, there's a person, and there's driving. I don't understand if the car was driving the person or the person was driving the car or what's going on here. Obviously not a great example, but it's along those lines.
How does a NLP system know about grammatical and closely related words and phrases?
Okay, NLU and NLP uses two methods, really. They're all about resolving, what's called the resolution of these words. And the first one is phonology. So it's really about how words sound, how they're formed, and specific physical properties of that word. So you might think of any word and its etymology. So like, where did it come from? How does it actually come out of people's mouths? And what is the sound of this word? And what does it add to the entire sentence? So in language, we sort of just innately do this, but obviously a computer doesn't just innately understand language. So it has to really start looking at the whole metadata around a word and a sentence. And lastly, the last part is morphology. So you can think of different versions of a word, right? So the easiest one is to think of verbs, because you have present tense, past tense, future tense, all this other stuff. So you may have a verb that has morphed, and you don't have to teach the NLP system or NLU system every possible word in the world. You literally just have to teach it how to get back to the root of the words, how to morph the word back, and then you're at a place where it has an understanding of the actual word because it knows the root word. And morphology also gives you a little bit more about like grammatical properties of text. All of that wrapped up, so all of those versions of analyses and resolution do give a very good and strong understanding to NLU. The last part that we often forget to talk about is that you need full-on representation. And representation is, how do you turn all of the things that the NLP system, NLU system read into something that's machine-readable now? Because text is not really machine-readable. And there are generally two good methods for this. There's symbolic representation, where you might turn, let's say, the word semantic or syntax into 1 and 2, because those are symbols. It's very simple. So you're treating them as, whenever I see the word semantic, it's gonna be a 1. Whenever I see the word syntax, it's gonna be 2. So then you end up with a representation of your content in something that a machine can. The other way that you do it is a statistical representation, and it's usually a probabilistic model. So you can imagine that the word the is like all over English language text, and the word is as well, whereas the word porcupine probably is not, right? So there's going to be a statistical model that shows sort of like the prevalence of words in text, and then that sort of hints at topics and hints at meanings. So it's a big mixed bag of a lot of techniques to really get at the understanding of text and the understanding of content, and that's what makes, you know, NLU systems, including chatbots, really impressive and really cool AI, is that machines aren't inherently built to understand us. It's really us, you know, we make machines that are going to try to understand us. Quite a bit of help. You can see that machines will and are capable of understanding what we say, what we write, and how we write it. It's just a matter of giving them enough horsepower to compete through it. Yeah. Wow. So there you have it. We've talked a little bit about NLU. We've gone from super high level to a little more, you know, in depth. We're not going to go super technical because it is a podcast and it's hard to do code on a podcast. But if you're interested in code or really any of those more technical aspects, do reach out to us. We're always willing to have a chat about this. And of course, tune in next week where we'll keep talking about NLP, NLU, AI, and all things data. Have a good one. Bye.